verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know. Now, the things he makes us know are going to all be connected with him being lifted up on the cross. We know the things he teaches us through the cross, by the things that took place after the cross, by the things that he's still doing due to his being raised again. He says, then shall you know that I am. He's the great I am. We know that by the cross. And that I do nothing of myself. What Christ did, the Father did in him. He did in the Father, they're one. But you notice here, the Lord gave God all the glory for all that he did. I do nothing of myself. Then shall you know, as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. His doctrine and the Father's are the same, but as the servant, he only spoke what the Father taught him, and he gave God all the glory for everything he spoke. Now, all these things are fulfilled when he was lifted up on the cross. When you've lifted me up, then you'll know he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. They were perfect oneness, perfect unity, fidelity to one to another. Even when God forsook him, bearing our sin, the Lord didn't leave him alone. He was doing what pleased the Father. Now listen to this statement. For I do always those things that please him. Now, truly we can say with those officers, never a man spake like this man. Out of all the millions of people in this world, nobody could ever say this of himself, take this honor to himself and use this language speaking of himself as our Lord did. No man can proclaim that of himself alone he has this relationship with God, just of himself. No man could speak of his future with such accuracy. He looked those folks in the eye and said, you shall lift me up. He told them they would. And think about this. He's speaking of that ignominious death of the cross. Nobody could speak with that kind of composure, knowing what he's about to face when he goes to that cross. And no man can say this. I do always those things that please the Father. He could say that of himself. So he said, when you have lifted me up, you shall know. All these things are manifest most clearly at the cross. And then he meant what took place after the cross as well. And we'll look at some of those things. But, you know, the Father's well pleased with Christ's obedience alone. We know Romans 5:19. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And he's that one. He said, I do always those things that please him. Now that's an incredible statement. You think about eternity, before anything was made, the Father was well pleased with him in his suretyship as the covenant head of his people. I saw something I'd never seen before in Matthew 12:18. He's quoting Isaiah, but he said this, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. Then he said, I will put my spirit upon him. Even before he came into this earth and he put his spirit upon him, God said, he's my servant whom I am well pleased. He's been pleased with him from eternity. He said, I was before him ever his delight. He was pleased with him when he made the world. God the Father and his Son made all things. He put all things into his hand. He created all things for himself, and the Father was pleased with his creation and his government of the world all through the ages. setting forth the law and the types and shadows of the law and governing all things that came to pass throughout the ages. Our Lord's been doing that as the pre-incarnate surety of his people, the king who had all things in his hand from eternity. And the Father's always been well pleased in him. But especially when he came in human flesh to work out a righteousness for his people. From the womb until he yielded up his spirit, he said always, at all times, in all ways, in every situation, even through that shameful death of the cross, he said, I always do that which pleases the Father, those things which please the Father. Now, that's our righteousness. He's our righteousness. He always did what pleases the Father. And that's what it takes to please the Father, to do always, always those things that please him. Now, a sinner needs righteousness our whole life. We need righteousness throughout our life. He is that righteousness. A sinner needs a holy conception. We need to be holy in our mother's womb. Now that should end all our boasting of trying to come to God by anything that's of us, because in conception and sin did our mother conceive us. And we come from our mother's womb speaking lies. He is that holy thing in the womb. He's that sinless one in the womb from the womb. Holiness, perfect holiness, perfect nature is Christ. From the womb, he has been that one in whom his people are perfectly holy. From the womb. He became us. He became us. And from there, he was that holy thing from conception. Absolutely from conception. And then we need holiness and righteousness throughout our youth when we're children. I was a child once, a sinful child. Do you ever pray, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions? According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. When we pray, remember not the sins of my youth, we're asking God, remember the righteousness of Christ's youth. Remember his righteousness throughout his youth. When he was unknown, when he was the carpenter's son, when he was coming up under the governorship of Joseph and Mary, he was righteous and holy. That's the righteousness and holiness of our youth right there, brethren. Christ Jesus. Throughout his manhood, he always did that which pleased the Father. So did all his people in him. We need a perfect, righteous, obedient youth and manhood. And that's him. Sin is in everything we've ever done. We can say this, I do always sin. You and I can say that without a doubt. I do always sin. Just as surely as he could say, I always do that which pleases the Father. He put away the sins of our youth. He put away the sins of our manhood, and he's the righteousness of our youth and the righteousness of our entire manhood. That's Christ. He's the righteousness of our religious works. Ever since the Lord called us by his grace, when we went through water baptism, we sinned while we were undergoing water baptism. He went through that ordinance in perfect righteousness. When he said to John, it behooves us in fulfilling all righteousness, that one act of being baptized in perfect obedience with perfect sinless righteousness from a perfectly holy heart, that's an example of his entire life for his people. And just as we were in him when he did that, brethren, we were in him the whole time. His baptism, just the act of that ordinance, was done in perfect righteousness. And his people did it in perfect righteousness in him. And when he went to the cross, he put away the sin even that we sinned while we were being baptized. It's that specific. Everything he did. When he was tempted of the devil, do we ever sin when we've been tempted by the devil? He was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights and never sinned. And was perfectly righteous and perfectly honored the Father while he was tempted. The devil, throughout his whole life, the devil was trying to find some weak spot in our Redeemer. He's the only one that could say, the devil comes and he finds nothing in me. He always did that which pleased the Father. And he put away all our sin for all of the times that we have been tempted and we have sinned. That's what he did for his people on the cross. Under the law. He came under the law, magnified and honored the law. The ceremonial law. At 8 days old, he was circumcised. And he fulfilled the ceremony perfectly. He was at that Feast of Tabernacles the week before, or the few days before he's speaking here in our text. He was there because he observed every ceremony perfectly. And he's the end of them. He fulfilled them all. He did it. He's done with it. It's over. He fulfilled them in perfect righteousness. He was what they pictured, and he fulfilled them. And then the moral law. He fulfilled the moral law, not striving to do it, not that it was something to be grasped at. He just is the righteousness of it. It was his heart, and he fulfilled it perfectly. Everything that was written, that's who he is. He always did that which pleased the Father, and his people have in him. And then think about this now. You and I, who he's called, we want God to have the glory. We want to give God the glory. But he even is our perfect righteousness in giving God all the glory. We sin even when we try to give God the glory. He's the perfect one who perfectly glorified the Father. He said, I do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. You and I could say that and have a whole lot of sin in it, a whole lot of false humility in it. Our Lord said that with a perfect heart, glorifying the Father. Everything he did, he was one with the Father in doing it. It wasn't that he was doing it, separate. He did it all. The Father was in him and he in the Father. And what he did, he was doing perfectly as God. But he's saying here, as a servant of God, he was sent of God. And he did everything he did by the Father working in him. And he's saying, I do nothing of myself. He glorified the Father for everything he did. Perfectly. When we do anything as we ought, we have to give God the glory. Because it's God working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We have to give him the glory. Well, he did that perfectly. He glorified him perfectly. And he even put away the sin, our sin, when we try to glorify him and speak glorifyingly of him, the sin that's mixed with that. He put that sin away for his people. Everything he spoke was of the Father. He said there, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now that, he perfectly glorifying the Father as being the one who taught him what to speak. And you and I, there's so many times we don't speak as we ought. But when we do speak as we ought, if we speak the truth, the gospel, and we do it in spirit and in truth, we have to give him the glory for this, just like he did right here. As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. We have to give him the glory. But there's so much sin mixed even with us giving him the glory. He gave the Father glory perfectly. and put away the sin of his people that's mixed with our trying to give God the glory. Even speaking of him teaching us. Here's something else we need. We're going to need a righteous death. I mean, just the act of dying. There's going to be so much unbelief mixed with our faith when we try to die, when we come to the point of dying. Just the act of dying. We're going to be full of unbelief when we come to that point. He'll give you grace when you need grace, just like he does now. But we're going to be sinful when we try to die. Our Lord gave perfect submission in death without sin. And look what kind of death it was. He going to the cross to bear unimaginable shame and pain and sorrow and being forsaken of the Father. And he faced that and went into that and went through that and did it without any sin in himself. He perfectly was righteous to the Father with a holy heart while he did it. Perfect obedience. You know, he said, when you've lifted me up, you'll know these things are so. The only way he could be lifted up on that cross as a substitute of his people was that he did always those things that pleased the Father. He had to be perfect. He had to be spotless. He had to be the spotless Lamb of God. That's how we know he is the great I Am, because he couldn't have been lifted up any other way. Not bear the sin of his people, not do the work he did without being first himself perfectly righteous with no sin. That's how we know he is who he said he is, and he was doing what he said he was doing. And even when God forsook him in justice, he said to his apostles before he went to the cross, "You're going to leave me. You're going to forsake me. But I'm not alone. The Father's with me." And that's what he said here. In everything he did, from the womb all the way till he yielded his spirit up, the Father was with him. Even when God turned his face from him because he was bearing sin and he was pouring out the wrath and justice of God on him, the Father was still with him because what he was doing pleased the Father. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Pleased God to bruise him. He was satisfying justice. So even in that forsaking, God was with him and pleased with what he was doing, because it's what he came to do. So you see, there you have our conception all the way to our death. There's only one we can look to and say, he always did that which pleased the Father. That's the only place you and I can be righteous. It's in him. In him. And he perfectly, fully put away all the sin that we are, from our nature and conception all the way to all the sins we commit to the day we draw our last breath. He put away all the sin. In every area of our life, from our youth to our manhood, all our religious acts, even our death. He did it perfectly, and he put away all the sin in it. Completely. But then there was things that he says that we know, because after he was lifted up, it includes more than just him on the cross. It's things that took place after. And this is how we know he's the great I Am. Look at Matthew 27. Here's some things that took place after, because of who he is. Verse 50. Matthew 27:50. And you know, we probably should include in this, if you read the Gospels, you know, all when he was lifted up, not only did he fulfill all the scriptures and the things he did as he went through his life, as the scriptures said he would, but when he was lifted up on the cross, there were things that took place that were written before that would take place that God made certain they were done. His garments being parted, for instance. Him being betrayed initially for 30 pieces of silver. All of those things. And you know, the Lord moved things too to where Pilate said, Pilate declared his innocence. "What fault do you find in him? I wash my hands of this innocent man," he said. Even the devil was made by God's hand to testify he's spotless. We know who you are. You're that innocent one. You're that righteous one. Even the devils bore witness to him. Pilate's wife, have nothing to do with this man. I had a dream about this innocent man. All these different, when you've lifted me up, you're going to know, the Lord said. Everything that was taking place was showing us he is who he said he is. He's the great I am. Always doing that which pleased the Father. But look here now, Matthew 27:50. There were things that happened after he yielded up the Spirit. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He yielded it up. He did that. No man takes my life, he said. He yielded up his Spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. That's making everybody know. He's the end of the law. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. That's what our Lord said. You're going to know. When you've lifted me up, you shall know I am. Not that they would know and believe it, but they without excuse. All these things bear witness that he is who he said he is, did all the things he said. And then he, after his resurrection, and then he appeared to many witnesses, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the scripture says he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. His not being in that tomb, his being at God's right hand declares he is the I am. He is the one that always did that which pleased the Father. He said, when you've lifted me up, you'll know. And then you have Pentecost. He poured out the Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost, saved 3,000 people through the preaching of the gospel. And then he continued to save more. He said, you'll know. And he's been calling his people ever since. Look over at Hebrews chapter 2. His preaching by his apostles bears witness, and God bore witness by giving them the ability to work the miracles they worked. He said, Hebrews 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. All of these things is what he was saying when he said, when you've lifted me up, you shall know. We know he is the I am because he called us to faith in him. And we know that he did all things that pleased the Father. We know everything he did of the Father. Everything he spoke of the Father. These things we're seeing today, we know these things because he called us to faith in him. We know because his gospel is still going forth into this world. He still has a people to call. And God's still well pleased with him. Everything he's doing, God's well pleased with him. He's doing it. Everything that's coming to pass as the prophet, priest, and king of his people. And God's well pleased with everything he's doing. So look at John 10. I want to end with this. John 10 in verse 37. Listen to what our Lord said here. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not, he said. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. That's what he's declaring in our text. The Father's in me and I'm in him. When you've lifted me up, you're going to know this. I do know these things of myself. As I hear, I speak. And I always do that which pleases him. He said, now if you don't believe me, believe the works all these works that he did and all these works that have come to pass since. What's he saying by that? You know how he said in Romans 2, the invisible things of creation declare God is. All these things he's created, all the works of his hand, they all bear witness he is. And he's saying here, the invisible things of the Redeemer are clearly seen by all his miracles and all his works, by everything he accomplished. So those that refuse to believe on him are without excuse. We were just as men are without excuse just from creation. We got a better witness than that. Christ has come. And you know, if a person that doesn't believe the gospel, if they just look back on history and think about the fact that this whole world's divided between Isaac and Ishmael. Really? Where'd that come from? You got really three. You got Ishmael, you got the Muslims, you got Isaac, you got Jews, and you got those that were the elect that came out, true believers. That's really the whole world right there. Where did that come from? It's right here in this book. Right here. And there's just so many witnesses, but the chief witness is him. He said, "You're going to lift me up." He was lifted up. And by him being lifted up, by all these things that he's done, we know. But it takes faith, doesn't it? It takes him giving you faith in your heart. We had all these witnesses, and we didn't believe him. But it takes him giving faith in the heart to make you know. He's the one that did always those things that pleased him. Now, believer, for you that trust him, it's only his continual pleasing of the Father from the conception to he yielded up the Spirit that is our righteousness. He is our righteousness, beginning and end. And only him, nobody else but him, is our righteousness. So when he says here, "He that sent me, the Father hath not left me alone, he's with me," that's true of you, brethren. You can always know this. He's with you. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He said, "I do nothing of myself." Anything you do that's pleasing to God, that God says his people should do, give him the glory. Anything you speak, he said, "I speak nothing of myself." Give him the glory. As he's taught you, that's how come you speak it. If you speak it by his Spirit and truth, that's the only way. But know this. He alone could say of himself, "I do always those things which please the Father." But if you trust him, if you believe him, here's the assurance we have. In Christ alone, God looks upon him and sees you in him and says of you, believer, "You have always done that which pleased the Father." That's my only hope. That's our only confidence. If we're trying to bring anything else, God won't receive it. In Christ, we have always done that which pleases the Father. That's where faith rests right there. That's where faith rests. All right, brethren, let's go to the Lord. Father, help us to see you, see your Son, see and hear these things, and know in our heart that Christ and him crucified is all our hope, all our righteousness, all our acceptance. Lord, make us to do that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Work in us to do that. Speak as you'd have us speak. Act as you'd have us to do. Lord, make us to remember we only do it by your will, your power. But make us in all be constantly, continually looking to your Son and resting in him. Thank you, Lord, for perfect righteousness. Thank you for coming and working this out for us. Lord, call your people, if it's your will today. Call one of your saints and make them hear, make them know this, one of your sheep. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, and make us truly behold Christ. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. Keep us trusting you. Save us from our unbelief. Thank you, Lord, for Christ Jesus, your Son, our gracious Redeemer. Amen.